Hello, and welcome to the Osteopod. This episode is an interview with Alec Massoud and Jelen Shamoul, two first years from Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, or PCOM. One of the oldest schools founded in 1899, PCOM has grown to include two campuses in Georgia. They offer multiple dual degrees, including a DO-MPH and DO-PhD degrees, among others. And you can find all of these matriculation details at their main website, as well as the Choose DO website that I'll include a link to in the show notes. But let's get into the interview, where I ask Alec and Jelen to introduce themselves, why they chose medicine as a career, and what led them to choose the DO route and go to PCOM.
I'm from Franklin, New Jersey. It's a small town in North Jersey, right outside of New York City. Well, never wanted to do medicine. I graduated college with an information technology degree, and I kind of had a change of heart through working as an EMT. I really kind of fell in love with medicine. So why this med school and why DO? For PCOM specifically, it's kind of like multifactorial for me. Both my parents and my uncle went to PCOM. And then I personally, that's not the reason why I chose to come here. I personally fell in love with the school on interview day. It's kind of like one of those things, like when you do your college interview, you either get there and you like fall in love instantly, or you're kind of like, I'm not getting a great vibe. I fell in love instantly. The students were awesome. Professors were awesome. The entire day was just, it was obviously a stressful day because it's interview day, but it was also a lot of fun. So for me, I'm like a really outgoing type of personality and stuff like that. And I just thought that the environment of PCOM would be perfect for me. And why DO? So this is a little interesting. I have a little bit of a background in DO prior to PCOM from my parents and everything like that. But mostly the whole why DO question was because I have had personal health issues going on, like hypertension, since I was 14 years old. And so I've always been told, you know, we don't know what's wrong or we don't have any medical options. And I think the whole DO perspective, whether you use OMT or not in your clinical practice in the future, the DO perspective allows you to have just a different look or a different mindset or a fresh set of eyes to a classic medical problem. I think that's pretty unique. And so for me, it's like, even if you don't necessarily use OMT in your practice, you can still have that fresh kind of mindset of, that the DO has.
Hi, so I am also an MS1 at PCOM. I'm from Delaware, and I attended University of Delaware for my undergrad and then University of Delaware for my post-bac. So this was my first time leaving Delaware. But I actually was a nursing major in undergrad, and I worked for 3 years on a cardiovascular step-down prior to starting at med school. And when I was considering my graduate school options, I looked at the curriculum between being a nurse practitioner and going to med school or PA school. And I made like the ultimate decision that I wanted to be a physician just because of like the different teaching style and obviously the depth of knowledge you get from attending medical school. So originally I really like a pretty close familiarity with DOs because of a lot of the doctors I worked with were DOs, and I saw the way they treated patients, and one of the medical directors was a DO from PCOM, and he was just like an encyclopedia. So that's how I was exposed to what being a DO really is. And same with Alec. I went to both an open house and had a tour before my interview tour, and both times I felt very down to earth with everybody. Everyone was very welcoming. And I went to other tours where I left kind of being a little bit more intimidated. And I think with PCOM's tour and just the atmosphere you get from the school is very welcoming and very non-competitive. And that was a big factor for me because I think undergrad and then post-bac is so competitive and you constantly feel like you're against everybody. So I didn't want to have that same feeling at med school because it's stressful enough. And going to PCOM's tour, it just felt very natural. And I think, and it's the same ever since I started. People are very non-competitive, and I kind of love that about our school.
What was interview day like?
I think we had such great tours and open houses, and that's why we decided to then become DO ambassadors when we came to PCOM. So my first open house was through my post-bac, and it was a small environment because it was just about, like, I think 15 of us total coming from Delaware. And we had a few ambassadors, and they took us around the school and showed us, you know, like, all the awesome things they have. Like, I think the Da Vinci machine was one of the things that really stuck out for me, the simulator. Because I was like, wow, that's amazing that, like, we have that resource. And then we had lunch with a few professors, which was also really great because it kind of made you feel, like, very comfortable in the transition of going from, like, post-bac or undergrad to medical school, because you had, like, so many familiar faces. Interview day started with a tour with the ambassadors, which was similar to the one I had in open house. And then we would have a lunch with two faculty, which could be professors or from admissions, which was also another great opportunity to ask questions. And instead of having them answered by students, which is great during your tour, but also by faculty, I think I asked some curriculum questions, and it was really great. I had Dr. McGinnis, which is one of our anatomy professors. He's the head of the department, and it was great to, like, get his perspective on it and hear his point of view. And then while people were interviewing, because our interviews were a little staggered, you could actually sit in the OMM room and, like, watch lab, which was pretty cool because it kind of got your mind off of, like, waiting for that interview, and it kind of made you a little less nervous. So I definitely had a pretty good experience both times.
Yeah, I think just piggybacking off of what you just said, before you do the actual interview itself with admission, and you're doing all the stuff with the ambassadors and the faculty and everything there, any question that they want, it doesn't have any weight on their interview. And a pretty cool kind of perspective to get, because, you know, med school is hard. You have to like the place you're going. And I always tell students, like, don't just apply to a place just because you want to get into a school. Like, you know, ask the questions and make sure you're really going to be happy there. And I think that's one thing that also kind of drove me towards PCOM and made me happy during interview day.
Tell us more about the campus as well as Philadelphia and what it's like to live there.
So the campus is off of a big street called City Ave, and it's about 5 miles away from Center City, Philadelphia. So that's, like, awesome in and of itself, because you're not smack in the middle of this, like, major busy city getting distracted by things that happen in a major city. It's more of, like, a suburban urban area. But at the same time, like, in your free time, let's say after an exam or something, it's so easy to just drive right down the road and, you know, have that big city feel. The campus is, like, a small little quaint campus. It has about 3 to 4 buildings. You know, we have, like, the 2 academic buildings, one with all the lecture halls and the anatomy lab and stuff like that. And then the other building with, like, the simulation rooms and more labs. And then we have an activity center, which has the gym, a basketball court, and some cool little extra things like a golf VR simulator, which I think is pretty cool. And they are, in terms of housing, they are building on-campus student housing as we speak. I think it's supposed to be open for next year. But aside from that, a lot of students obviously live off-campus, and there's apartments all over the place of various sizes, various distances. You can range from, you know, nice small apartment that's a little bit on the cheaper side, or like a really luxurious, bigger and more expensive apartment, whatever kind of suits your needs. So when I was looking at housing personally, I didn't really find it all that difficult to figure out. I think I figured out my housing situation in like 2 days or something like that.
Just to go a little bit off of what Alex said, I think being like, I totally agree. And I was very on board with the fact that PCOM's like very close to the busier, like, Center City and South Philly and all that, but is also a little bit more withdrawn so that you don't have that constant, like, temptation or busyness if that's not really your style, if you're not a city person. When I was looking for housing, like, I guess I'm considered off campus, but my apartment building is, like, literally down the street from PCOM school all the time, which is nice. And we have multiple, like, apartment build homes and everything. So I don't think any student really has any difficulty finding housing. I will mention that there are apartment buildings to being close to, which is Lincoln Green. That's where I am. Presidential, which is right across the street from me. It's a little bit slightly more upscale, but some of the apartments can be a little bit smaller. So that's why I chose the one I'm in now. And then there's Metropolitan Bala, which is also very close to school and a little bit of a less expensive option. And when it comes to like single versus families, I think because of our location and the fact that we're not smack dab in the middle of the city, there are a lot of like townhomes or even single homes, if that's what you would prefer. And even the apartment building where I live is very family friendly. We have like mostly two bedroom apartments. So if that's your situation, I don't, you know, as a medical student with a family, it's a little bit different, but I don't think in terms of housing, there's really any difficulty in this area.
Yeah.
What's the cost of living like?
I know. So like we were saying, you know, you can go from like a smaller, more tighter place or not as luxurious. So I know people who pay as little as $550 a month, and that would probably be on the lesser end. So you're really getting a smaller apartment, but all the basics are there, and you can go probably like John was saying with Presidential, you could probably go up as high as $2,000 a month, and it comes with a lot more amenities and stuff like that. But the price range is there, so whatever, you know, fits your budget, I think you shouldn't have any problem figuring that out.
Yeah, the $500 on the lower side, you can find that if you want to live in a house in Manyung, which is very close to City Ave. It's like very townhome style area, a little bit more city feel. And we have some friends that live there with like four other roommates, right? Because they're like townhomes. For me at Lincoln Green, I have a two bedroom. So I have a roommate, and for each of us, it comes out to $875 a month without like amenities included. But I just kind of like, you know, I'm 25. So I've lived in like small crowded apartments, yeah, exactly, and old homes, like in undergrad. So I was like, I'm okay with paying just a little bit extra to be in a nice place that I feel comfortable in. I don't want to add to my like sadness during med school.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want a nice, but like a nice-ish place to go home to and be able to study in and all that. But there is a wide range.
What is the curriculum like the first 2 years?
So we started ours, our year a little less traditionally because they wanted to upgrade our anatomy lab. So where we would have normally started with anatomy, like other med schools, we started with our CMBM course, which is cellular molecular basis of medicine. So that included like the biochemistry, the immunology, microbiology, and all that. So our lectures are usually scheduled. They like to start at 9 a.m. Some of them have to start a little bit earlier at 8 and usually end around noon so that you have a lunch break. And then your OMM lecture will be after 1 p.m. If you choose to go to lectures. Again, I think we have usually no more than I would say like four mandatory lectures that you have to attend. And that's usually when you have a guest speaker that's coming. So you want to attend those either way. OMM lab is once a week. So we're split up into four different groups. And it's pretty nice because you are split up into four different groups and then you're split up into other smaller groups of like 10 people. To each resident or physician to kind of help guide you through the different techniques. And that's only once a week. And then we have our PCS course, which is patient care skills. That schedule is kind of, it doesn't really follow a set schedule because it extends throughout the whole year. It's not just a one-term kind of thing. It's where you learn like taking a blood pressure, doing a neuro exam, using your ophthalmoscope and otoscope and that kind of thing. So sometimes we'll have like one lecture a week for that or none in the week. And then 1 week we might have two. And your labs are kind of structured the same as OMM labs would be. So we'd be broken up into four big groups and then another smaller group where it's actually only four students and a standardized patient. So someone that comes in and we kind of learn with them and practice the different techniques on them before we would do it on an actual standardized patient experience, which is graded. We have practicals for OMM. Those are only twice a term, very low stress, and you kind of just go in and they'll ask you to perform a technique that you've already learned. And it's more so of a learning experience so that you can see like if you're placing your hands wrong or if you're not folding into the right position correctly. So it's not necessarily to be like an intimidating test kind of thing, but more to really fine tune what you do. So we did anatomy our second term, which just passed, and we alternated dissections. So you had six people to a group, so six to a table, and three would do one dissection, and then 2 days later, one person would teach them what we did, and then those three would do their dissection, and we kind of alternated, which was nice because, as you know, sometimes the dissections take like a little bit of time, and that way we get to learn from each other and kind of split up that amount of time that would be spent during dissections and use it towards lecture or something else. Alec, anything you want to add?
Yeah, then along with, so like she was just saying, we just finished anatomy in our second term, and that's part of like this umbrella term called SPOM, which stands for the Structural Principles of Osteopathic Medicine. And on top of anatomy, you know, before you go in the lab, you have a hectic lab of that body system. And then you also do embryology and histology at the same time. So the whole kind of course just flows and you move through each one of the organs, each one of the body systems. You see it in the lab, you see it, you know, what it would look like histological standpoint, and then you learn about its embryology. And throughout the SPOM course, which extended from like mid-November to the end of January, beginning of February, we would meet, I think we met maybe three or four times for a team-based learning where it's almost like a grand rounds type of presentation. You're given like a clinical problem. You have to come up with a diagnosis and some differentials, and then less about being correct about the diagnosis, but and more so just being able to stand in front of the professor and a small room of your peers and explain like the development of that body system and then the anatomy of it and the histology and like what complications you might expect to find based on stuff you were taught in lecture. So that's kind of cool. It takes you away from the classroom a little bit and gives you like a real, more real world perspective of what you'll be doing years down the road. And then currently, I know we're all virtual right now because of the virus, but we are in now what we call CRP, which stands for cardiorenal palm. It's our first body systems unit. And for those that don't know, from now until, I guess, around this time next year, second year, until board season comes up, we will be doing a different set of three body systems each term. So normally it would follow, I mean, if we weren't all virtual, we would follow kind of a standard schedule of going to class and then, you know, studying afterwards and stuff like that. But it's a little bit different now, but it would be, and at the same time, we would be taking OMM with OMM lectures and then one OMM lab per week because OMM does span the entirety of the first and second year.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how lectures are given and what kind of lectures you get?
So it's recorded and posted after our lectures. Right now we're obviously using last year's, but they post it like directly after, which is pretty nice. You don't really have to wait too long to view it. We did have a, we had a guest speaker come and he was with a organization. It was actually really cool. So he was a fashion photographer. And then he met someone, well, it sounds a little weird to say, but he saw someone on the street and he was like, wow, she's gorgeous. And she was actually albino. So he started this whole company based off photographing people who have different disorders and different diseases that are in medical textbooks. And, you know, you see the picture in the book, which isn't always like the most flattering or kind of portrays them as an illness. And he wanted to change that into kind of showing off like the uniqueness of the individual and that they're more than just disease or anything like that. So he was like a speaker that came and just hearing his stories and all the traveling he's done and he's met, I think was like really amazing. And it was obviously a little different of a lecture than traditional like medical school lecture. But it was just like a breath of really unique perspective that I wouldn't have considered. So that was one of my favorite like speakers and lectures that we've had to date. And his nonprofit is called Project Exposure.
How well do you feel like you're taught OMT?
Sure. So basically the way OMT works here is you do 1 to 2, you know, classic med school style lectures based on OMT. And it could be anything from like the actual mechanics of OMT or like functional anatomy or kind of the physiologic basis of OMT. And those are your lectures. The lectures do complement the lab. And then each term, so we're on a trimester system. So each trimester, there is one written midterm and then one final on all of the lecture material you've done for OMT. And then for the lab component, we do one lab a week that is an hour and a half long. And to complement the lab, we do have, you know, like a standard textbook for the lab techniques. We have videos that our professors have posted in conjunction with the textbook of them performing the technique and indications, contraindications, and the proper maneuvers and everything like that. And then we go to lab, we practice, and we'll have, I think it's two practicals a term that gets factored into our grade, two or three practicals a term. I think the lab component's really cool. Again, it's like different from just being in a lecture hall or sitting behind a computer screen watching lectures all day long. You're actually doing things with your hands. And after taking the SPOM course, which had anatomy in it, you kind of see the benefit of how OMT and anatomy interrelate, and you get a really good appreciation for how everything kind of comes together. So it's pretty cool.
I would just add that I agree with Alec. I think it's taught very well at our school. Two of our professors actually wrote the atlas that we use, and I know it's used at other medical schools, so they're very knowledgeable when it comes to OMT, and they do this like every day. It's their specialty. I think we get a pretty awesome exposure to it and a really great learning experience when it comes to OMM. And I think the way it's factored into our schedule is also, it works out well that you have it once a week, and then you have, like, we also have rooms that we can go and practice in at our convenience. So I think overall, yeah, it's definitely taught pretty well at PCOM.
What kind of electives do you have?
Yeah, there is actually, I think, going on right now, a nutrition and medicine and cooking class. You know, if John is taking the class, it's it teaches you how to cook, and it teaches you how to cook healthy, which I think is something that I was in the class, it would be really beneficial as a med. I think that's a pretty cool opportunity.
Can you tell us more about other graduate programs in addition to the osteopathic degree, as well as any special curriculum tracks or programs that the school offers?
So my actual first exposure to PCOM as a school was my sister. She was in their PA program. So they do have a great PA program. There's also a psychology graduate program. And PCOM does also offer two different kind of post-facs. So you can do the like a master's program, which is 2 years. So you get actual like first year medical school courses. They're very similar to what you'll take during your first year. And then you also get to pick, I think, like a subspecialty. One of my friends did the forensics. So his master's is actually in like forensic medicine, which is pretty cool. Or you can do the 1 year option before applying to medical school, which is just basically like exposure to like the class you'll have during your first year.
And then just to add to that, at our Georgia campus, they also offer a doctor of physical therapy degree, and then also a doctor of pharmacology degree at PharmD.
Can you tell us more about extracurricular opportunities and clubs, interest groups, things like that?
Yeah, there is, I think, pretty much a club for everything that you could possibly be interested in. And if there isn't, you can go ahead and make one. There's all different types of intramurals for sports, like intramural volleyball is a big thing. There's like flag football and stuff like that. Each type of medical specialty has their own club, which is really, really cool. Each club kind of has guest speakers come in from the surrounding hospitals. The emergency medicine club, aside from this whole virtual virus thing that's going on and us not being on campus, they do simulation labs with mannequins and everything like that to simulate, you know, medical emergencies. So there really is a club for anything you could possibly want, any type of sport, any type of specialty.
I mean, off of what Alec said, we have every single specialty you could be interested in. We have religious organizations, if that's something that you want to be a part of, and a lot of service or organizations, which I think is great, school, like the Brunswick, which is awesome. It offers healthcare to those who may not have access to it. I'm like the biggest proponent for intramural sports. I did flag football during my first term and then basketball during the second term. And I think they're just an amazing opportunity, even if like sports is not at all your thing, because I'm 5'1.5". I'm a pretty small person. And I was an offensive and defensive lineman in flag football. And it was just like such a great break from school. And you get to meet a lot of your fellow classmates and second or third years even sometimes. So I always, when I give a tour to prospective students, I mention intramurals because such a great stress relief and such an awesome opportunity to be around other students in a very low stress environment.
What about research opportunities?
Yeah, so a lot of our professors are actively conducting research, and there is a site on PCOM's website where you can see all the different kind of research that is going on at the school. And it's like very easy to reach out. So I know one of our professors does a lot of eye research, and if you're interested in ophthalmology, you can just send him an email. And he actually has, I think, like one of the biggest labs at our school, and he's like the most published. So whatever you're really interested in, you can kind of find. And also we have a link that connects you with alumni. So let's say you think you want to specialize in nephrology and you're looking for research opportunities that are similar to that field. You can reach out to residents or attendings that graduated from PCOM that can kind of guide you and mentor you through the process and let you know of how they did research or how they went about it. If they're doing any research that they'd like you to be a part of, that kind of thing. So I think it is a little student guided in a way, because we do have research presentations throughout the year where different professors and researchers will present like what they're doing, and you can see if you're interested in it and reach out to them. But I think the biggest thing with research is you have to take the initiative to kind of reach out and contact them, and they're always like very willing to have you in their lab as long as you're willing to put in the time.
And then, yeah, and just to add to that, we have, so like John was saying, you know, all of our professors pretty much do research. And it's a pretty good even spread between basic science research and actual clinical research. So whatever you're most interested in, I know a lot of people have done like basic science research in college and things like that when they were pre-med, and they're kind of like, okay, I want to get my feet wet clinically, that's available. Or if you're someone who's more like, I kind of love basic science research, that's available too. So you can kind of get whatever fits your needs the best.
What kind of educational and mental support does your school offer?
Okay, so we do have a counselor at our school. And she's always available by appointment if you feel like you need to talk to somebody. You know, obviously, like everybody knows med school is a stressful time. So highly recommend, like if you ever feel like it's getting to be a little too much or you just need someone to talk to, she's always available and easy to make an appointment with. She does offer also a lot of support groups, like you said, for families. We do have students that have families and are married and children, and I can't say exactly how often those are offered, but she'll always send out an email beforehand. So you have an idea of when it's coming up and what time. And she's also, even during this whole pandemic, has been doing some virtual support sessions. So if you feel like you're getting a little cooped up or you're getting even more stressed out with everything going on, she also sends emails about those, and you can just log on virtually. And they definitely also have like clubs and that are geared towards mental health that you can reach out to as well.
What can you tell us about third and fourth year and where you rotate and how your school decides where you rotate?
So, yeah, I actually talked to a couple of people just to get a good basis for this, because we are first years and we don't personally know this stuff that well yet. But so what they were telling me is first about rotation sites. So there's kind of two options at PCOM in Philadelphia. So you can elect to either try to do all of your third year rotations at one hospital system, or you can elect to do all of your rotations at, you know, various hospital systems around the Philadelphia area. It is a lottery system, so there's a lot of interest in doing it at one hospital system. And obviously not everyone can fit that type of program. So it goes up to a lottery. But irregardless, you're pretty much around the Philadelphia area for your third year. And in terms of the third year curriculum, so you have a full year of required rotations, and then you get a 1 month elective, which you can also use as a step two board study month if you would like. The required rotations would be family medicine, internal med, OBGYN, surgery, and then a surgical subspecialty, peds, psych, and then an internal med elective, and then OMM and radiology, which we actually do back on our campus. And then fourth year, you do your required emergency medicine rotation, and then you obviously have a lot more free time to audition rotations.
Yeah, I think the only thing that, I don't know actually if Alec mentioned this, but most of it is a lottery system. I think that's pretty standard in most medical schools. So I know there is this preference, like if you belong to a certain program with a certain hospital or something like that. But for the most part, you get to like rank where you want to be for your third year, whether you want to be core clinical or going to multiple hospitals. But I think overall, it's a lottery system.
In your opinion, is there anything that could be improved with the school?
I think in my personal opinion, there's two things I would mention. Our curriculum as of now is still, we still get a grade. And I know the majority of schools are pass-fail at this point. And I know that, you know, when you get to med school, it's very different than undergrad, and your grades really are not like, as long as you're passing, it doesn't really matter whether you got a 90 or an 87. But like still kind of not really being pass-fail fully is, I think, adds like a little bit of an added pressure, because you can't like help but kind of judge yourself based off the grade you get. And I know that they're in working on a transition to that curriculum, but as of now, we're not quite pass-fail. And I think if I could add an improvement to the school, it would be a pass-fail system. And the other thing is just, if anyone's familiar with the University of Delaware, they have a top-notch, amazing gym. And PCOM has a great gym too. Like, you definitely have whatever you need to get a good workout. But one of their claims to fame is that the Sixers used to actually practice at our school and practice at our basketball court. And I think there is some spaces now that they don't anymore that could expand our gym a little bit. So if possible, I think it would be great to have just a bigger gym with like a wider variety of machines. So those would be my two things.
And then I think for me, kind of going along with what she said, expand the gym. We're also a big, just our class alone is a big med school class. And then you have, you know, the other classes, and we have, like we said, the other graduate programs at the school. So the study spaces tend to get a little cramped, especially coming down to, you know, like exam time or something like that. So it would be nice to see maybe some more repurposing of rooms that might be available to turn them into more kind of quiet areas or study areas or something like that, just so that way people can feel like they're not like trying to study over one on top of another in the library or something like that. There is space available, but you kind of have to find it, and it can get a little tight at times. That would be kind of like my critical appraisal.
Any final thoughts on your school, and any pieces of advice you would give someone who is applying to DO school?
First thing I would say about the school, I personally love it. Coming from like a very urban area, North Jersey, New York City type of thing, I knew I wanted to continue living in a city environment. PCOM Philadelphia could not have been more perfect for that. The school is awesome. Everyone there is great. It really, and let's not sugarcoat it, med school is hard enough as it is. It's designed to be that way because, I mean, you're going to be a doctor treating patients. It should be hard, but I think the school does an awesome job of kind of keeping your feet back down on earth when that needs to happen. Advice to pre-med students is, I think a friend told me this, and I think this is a really good piece of advice. Getting into med school can seem like you have to check a bunch of boxes on a checklist. Like get a good MCAT score and a good GPA and have some type of research and do some extracurriculars. But I think when you start to get to interview day and you meet other students and stuff like that, you shouldn't be looking at the admissions process as like a checklist, and you should just be looking at like, all right, why do I want to do medicine first and foremost? And two, what are some things that, you know, I like to do in my free time that makes me happy? And what are some interests that I have in medicine? So don't approach it like you have to, like you got this checklist of 10 items for the key to success to getting to med school, and more approach it of like, why do I want to do medicine? And what are some fun things I could do along the way to getting into med school and after? For me personally, I fell in love with medicine because of EMS. If you asked me in high school, I would have said I would never go into medicine in my entire life. And I think my parents being doctors, I don't know if they reinforced that or didn't reinforce that, but and now I'm like totally the opposite. I fell in love with it. So don't approach getting into med school like you gotta click buttons on a checklist. That's not the right way to do it.
Yeah, going off of what Alex said, like my biggest advice for prospective students is first do some kind of shadowing, do some kind of patient care work to really make sure that this is the environment you want to be in for the rest of your life. I think a lot of students go into undergrad as pre-med and don't really have any exposure to the medical field until they're like all the way through college. So I think the best thing you can do for yourself is to really, whether you shadow or EMS or patient care tech or anything like that, just to get some experience, actual like hands-on with medicine. And then secondly, I kind of learned this as I was going through my post-bac, and I think it's a big thing with undergrad students, is don't look at others as your competition, look at yourself. So
yeah,
not necessarily be in competition with yourself, but if you don't do well on something, your goal should be to improve that in yourself, not, oh, they did better than me on an exam. I think is the mentality that happens in undergrad pre-med, because you're all competing for the same spots in medical schools across the country. You really just add so much unneeded stress to yourself. And when you kind of learn starting undergrad to just improving your like internally and just things that affect you personally, rather than constantly being in competition with your peers, like the sooner you learn that, the better. Because when you get here, it's a completely different environment, and you don't want to still have that mentality of, I have to perform better than everyone else. And then when it comes to actually being in medical school, I think my biggest piece of advice is really kind of step out of your comfort zone a little bit. A lot of us come into med school and we're like, oh, I know I want to be a cardiologist, or I know for sure I want to like be this kind of specialty. But you know, I think the more exposure you get to other specialties, you never really know what you're going to fall in love with. And you get out of the medical school experience what you put into it. So don't be afraid to join clubs, even if you only have a little bit of interest in them. You will meet great people and you might honestly end up loving it. So really step out of your comfort zone and just like, if you want to try something, just go for it. Like there's no harm in just trying it.
I want to thank Alec and Jelen again for joining me and taking the time out of their busy schedule to talk to me about their school, especially in the midst of the COVID pandemic that is going on right now. It's making things a little bit different for all of us, regardless of what situation we are. So I appreciate the time that they spent. And once again, if you'd like to learn more about PCOM, you can do so at the links that I'll provide for you in the show notes, one to their main webpage and the other to the Choose DO informational page that has a lot of good summarized information there. If you want to help the show out, you can like it and subscribe to it in any form possible. Give it a good rating and spread the word so that more pre-meds and colleagues like yourself can listen to this information and be more prepared for applications and med school. And if you would like to reach out to me, you can do so at theosteopod@gmail.com or on Twitter at theosteopod. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.